Well, the election is over, so we can call this the election of 2008. We now have a new president-elect, Barack Hussein Obama, and one of the headlines in the Saudi Arabian newspapers was, "A Muslim elected as president." So now we have a president, someone we know very little about. It is very likely that he's not even a U.S. citizen, elected by some 7 million votes more than McCain got. And the ones who elected him were basically the children and grandchildren of the flower children of the 60s, and the flower children of the 60s were the ones who elected Bill Clinton. And these children now have grown up in social schools without God, and you're dealing with those who expect to receive handouts and help. You're also dealing with them that they know nothing or virtually nothing about God and don't care and don't want to know about God. And with those who have been nurtured on the occult society from day one with cartoons after they were born. And so now we have the most inexperienced president facing the greatest problems the nation has ever faced, especially economically and debt-wise. And I think when I watched the news the other day, we get a little glimpse into how it's going to happen. He will not be his own man. Rather, the elite establishment authorities who are behind all the governments in the world selected him to be president with the willing help of the media. And so now we have a president that is going to be something that we're going to watch. And you can tell how over-concerned they are about it because they're having him do a lot of things that normally would not happen until he's sworn in as president. And he had, and I thought it was striking when I saw the group of advisors that he had for his financial summit that he had. And there was a message to the bankers in the form of a person that either stood by his left side or sat by his right-hand side. Can you guess who that was? Paul Volcker. Letting the markets know that he's not going to institute the taxes because they're not going to let him. Number two, it's going to be more like the Clinton era, only a little more liberal. And he's got a personal handler, and his name is Rahm Emanuel. And he is the one who brought back the House for the Democrats by getting a lot of what they call blue dog Democrats, conservative Democrats. And so he is going to be controlling Obama. And it's said that Obama will get his instructions every day. And he will read what the plan is. And if you saw the news conference afterwards, Obama did not call on one Fox reporter. And if you listened to him speak, every four or five words was and I think it at that point it may begin dawning on a lot of Americans who voted for him, maybe that wasn't such a good idea. However, there was an employer that thought it was really a good idea. So he sent out this memo, notice to all my employees. As of November 5th, when President Obama is officially elected into office, our company will instill a few new policies which are in keeping with his new inspiring issues of change and fairness. Number one, all salespeople will be pooling their sales bonuses in a common pool that will be divided equally between all of you. This will serve to give those of you who are underachieving a fair shake. Number two, all low-level workers will be pooling their wages, including overtime, into a common pool, dividing it equally among yourselves. This will help those who are too busy for overtime to reap the rewards from those who have spent, who have more spare time and can work extra hours. This is spreading the wealth around philosophy. And don't forget, wealth also includes property. And remember the Supreme Court ruling on eminent domain. All right, number three. All top management will now be referred to as the government. We will not participate in this pooling experience because the law doesn't apply to us. The government will give eloquent speeches to all employees every week, encouraging its workers to continue to work hard for the good of all. Number five, the employees will be thrilled with these new policies because it's good to spread the wealth around. Those of you who have underachieved will finally get an opportunity. Those of you who have worked hard and have had success will feel more patriotic. The last few people who were hired should clean out their desks. Don't feel bad, because President Obama will give you free health care, free handouts, free oil heating for your home, free food stamps, and he'll let you stay in your houses as long as you want, even if you can't pay your mortgage. If you appeal directly to our Democratic Congress, you might even get a free flat-screen TV and a coupon for free haircuts. Shouldn't all Americans be entitled to nice-looking hair? If for any reason you're not happy with these new policies, you may want to rethink your vote on November 4th. Sorry, too late. We've been had. Hang on to your wallets and purses. So a little humor to introduce the sermon is well setting, because much of the rest of it will not be as humorous as that. Let's go on. Some people say we're going for communism. No, the real truth is we're going for fascism, where the government controls the businesses rather than owning them. It will be, isn't it interesting? Everything that the Nazis did in World War II, we are now doing. Some of them have yet to be done, but wait a while. They will come. Now let's look at the nation. We know we are the modern tribes of Israel. Let's come back here to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. And what I want to do, I want you to think about, instead of it applying to Israel as they were ready to go into the promised land in the Palestinian area, as it's called today, I want you to think about the United States as it began with the pilgrims, and a half of them were Sunday keepers and half of them were Sabbath keepers. Page 301. And they followed the Bible. They were very religious and they were very into the Bible, with the exception of the weekly Sabbath, except for the few who understood it. And this was a result of the publishing of the Bible in English after the translation by William Tyndale and John Rogers. He completed the Old Testament and finished up all of what William Tyndale had done while he was in prison waiting to be martyred. and also as a result of Henry VIII breaking with the Roman Catholic Church and putting Bibles in every church, those big, huge Bibles like you see in the one I have, and to be provided with a reader. So the people were all steeped in the Word of God. Then we had the pilgrims coming over, and during the reign of terror of Queen Mary, Bloody Mary, who was a Catholic and came back after Henry VIII died, there were exiles who went to Geneva and did a translation called the Geneva Bible, and a lot of the pilgrims, to avoid the persecution at home, went over to Holland, and a lot of the pilgrims came to America, though they were English from Holland. So here they are coming, you know, you have the picture of Plymouth Rock and you have all the other things. So just keep that in mind. And they came to an untamed wilderness, just waiting for them. Just like the promise that was given in Psalm 89, where God promised David, when he said, "I will secure your throne forever," he said, I will move Israel to its own place. So we're talking about Britain and America in the main, and the British Empire, the whole thing concerning America, but especially America, as they come and they see this vast wilderness out in front of them, rich and full. So what I want to do when I read here Deuteronomy 8, I want you to think of America and the conquering of America, and we'll have a quick overview of the history of it. Verse 1, "All the commandments which I command you this day, you shall be diligent to observe and to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers." And remember, they had mostly the Geneva Bible. And the Bible was their textbook. They grew up reading the Bible. Now, granted, they had sinners. Granted, they had, their share of things to go along with it. But nevertheless, this was the time that God had promised Abraham that he was going to bless the world with his descendants. And I just imagined that a lot of the original settlers in America read this quite often, and they applied it to themselves as they went west. "And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God led you these 40 years in the wilderness." And for those who came from Europe, they were on those little teeny ships, and it was an ordeal. "In order to humble you, to prove you, to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." And this is the whole story of life right there. "And he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, then he fed you with manna, which you did not know, neither did your fathers know it, so that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord does man live." Basic lesson in life. And a lot of people back then believed it, lived by it, followed it. Now, during the wilderness, here's something that happened then, but not when they came to America. "Your clothes did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. And you shall consider in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you." They believed in discipline then. They don't today. If you discipline your children, you may very well get arrested by the fascist fanatics. Verse 6, "And you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him." Now notice how this applies to America. "For the Lord your God brings you into a good land, a land of brooks of waters, of fountains, of depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you shall eat bread without scarceness." And that sure applies to us, doesn't it? you shall not lack anything in it. It is a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you may dig copper, and we can also say coal and oil and diamonds and gold and so forth. And when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Now here comes a warning. And this applies today because we are way past this warning period. And we will see we've had several warnings down through our history to help bring us back to this point. Verse 11, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built goodly houses and live in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then you become haughty of heart. And that certainly describes this young generation that voted in Barack Hussein Obama. As the Saudi Arabia newspaper said, the first Muslim president in America. So when he had the slip of the tongue, I'm tired of people questioning me about my Muslim faith. Maybe it wasn't a slip of the tongue, because he didn't correct himself. George Stephanopoulos had to. So just a thought. And I think that through all the experiences that he's going to go through with all of these problems, maybe BHO will be humbled. And you forget the Lord your God, who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness and fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought forth water for you out of the rock of flint, who fed you in the wilderness with manna which your fathers did not know, so that he might humble you and prove you, that he might to do your good in your latter end. Remember this, all correction from God is to do you good after the correction has taken hold. Today, they want all the blessings and God go away. We want to live our way and sin our way, but we want all the blessings. Verse 17, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. And that's exactly what we do. Oh, we're a great nation. We've always done it. American ingenuity. We're going to do it. Well, the question is, are you going to be able to do it this time? With all the trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars in debt, commercial and government and local and state. Remember, you can never borrow your way into prosperity, because the borrower is the slave of the lender. So now you know why Paul Volcker was standing at his right hand, because he is controlled. Many people missed it, but when that $700 billion bailout came through, they increased the debt limit by over $1 trillion. And now they're set to borrow. You have $700 billion. How much is left? Well, they're going to borrow $550 billion more. That takes up all of the debt reserve. Now, remember what I gave on the single global currency. Now, we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But it's like Bill Clinton had. He put a sign on his desk. It's the economy, stupid. But Obama ought to have another sign on his desk. It is God you're dealing with, stupid. And that ought to be the motto for the whole nation. See, you know, as I explained up north, and I explained again, some people get discouraged in hearing this news. Do not get discouraged. Remember, God has called you to solve it. Let's go on. Okay. Verse 18, but you shall remember the Lord your God. And how do you remember God? It's called tithing, folks. For it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. See, if you obey God and keep his commandments and give tithes and offerings to God, he will bless you and work things out even though you may have trials. So that he may confirm his covenant which he has sworn to your fathers as it is this very day. And it shall be, if you do at all forget the Lord your God and walk after other gods, serving them and worshiping them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish, yes, perish, as the nations whom the Lord destroys before your face, so shall you perish, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now today, it's not politically correct to say that God gave us this land and intended for the Indians to be driven out. Furthermore, God blessed us with a Louisiana purchase which was just pennies per acre. Because Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, lost his birthright and was at war and needed money and couldn't figure out how he could use all that land in America, so they sold it for pennies. Later on, with the Mexican-American Wars, we got the states of the Southwest. And we bought it from them in a settlement of the war. Later then, it was Secretary Seward who purchased Alaska for pennies per acre. And it was called Seward's Folly until they discovered gold and oil. Yes. Now let's look at some of the wars that we've fought. Came time for us to be a nation, and we fought the Revolutionary War and founded it on the best constitution, biblically based, that men could come up with, but it had plenty enough weaknesses so when we get to this point in history today, the Constitution is virtually worthless. And the big Achilles heel is the judicial system. So we have the colonies beginning, later we have, and if you haven't seen the movies, John Adams, by all means get it and see it. It is absolutely fantastic, especially the scene, which is one of the favorites of Dolores, and she has watched this movie over and over again because it's so good, especially the scene where John Adams comes to the King of England as the first representative of the United States of America to present his credentials to the king and make final peace. And it was very eloquent. Bring tears to your eyes. All right, let's go on. Then we had the War of 1812, Civil War, Mexican-American Wars. Then we had Manifest Destiny, where we just took over the whole West. Then we had, let's see what I have here with my notes. It's just kind of an overview. Then we have one of the fatal things that took place in 1913 was what? The Jekyll Island event, the establishment of the Federal Reserve Bank, which is a private institution, which now governs the United States of America. Let's go on. Then we had World War I, and we had to deliver Ephraim out of their nonsense in Europe. World War II, we had to deliver them again, and after that, Ephraim became a second-rate nation. We became the greatest nation in the world. And then also, We had the Korean War, the Vietnam War, now the Iraq War. And in 1982, that was the last year that we were a creditor nation. Now we are the greatest indebted nation in the history of mankind, and about to get more indebted. Okay? After the Federal Reserve, put that down as number one. Here are the other things that brought down this nation. Number two, the Scopes trial, because that opened the door for not teaching the Bible and God in the school and teaching evolution as a scientific fact. That also led to the teachers' union and everything else that comes with it. All right? Number three now, separation of church and state mandated by the court rather than mandated by the Constitution. Number four, Roe versus Wade, which opened the door for sexual licentiousness, the feminist movement, and everything else that goes with it, that opened the door for abortion, euthanasia, and so forth. Number five, the privacy ruling that two adults in the privacy of their own abode, whether male and female, or male and male, or female and female, have the right to do whatever they choose to do, which has now resulted in all of the things that we see around us. The drugs, the alcoholism, the gambling, the borrowing, the spending, the homosexual marriages, all of that, all of the way that the world is today in America is a result of these five things. Now, England or Britain has their own, I'll list four things that brought them down. Number one, Darwinism. Number two, Marxism with Marx and Engels. Number three, rock and roll music, i.e. the Beatles. And of course, you can add to America, you can add rap music. Okay. Number four, just recently happening. The British Parliament just voted that it's okay to use human stem cells and animal stem cells and mix the genes. So as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of Son of Man. So all of those things, judgment is coming because of these. Today, there are 3,000 abortions every day in the United States of America. And we have a president, BHO, who believes in infanticide because he voted four times against mandatory medical treatment for babies that survive abortion. And he was put to shame on the Hannity and Combs show one night when Hannity had this 30-year-old woman who had survived a botched abortion, and she looked Combs right in the eye, who is a flaming liberal, and told him that if I hadn't had medical care, I wouldn't be here, and that Barack Obama believes in infanticide. So that tells you what's coming on the nation as far as God's judgment is concerned. Now let's look at some other things, because we're going to have to survive all of this. And we will, and we can. But first, let's come to the book of Judges, and let's see what God says about this kind of selection. Let's come to Judges 9, of corrupt politicians who are willing to do away with their opponents. In this case, it was Abimelech, who was a half-brother of the 70 brothers of Jerubbabel. who is also called Gideon. Verse 1, Judges 9. And Abimelech the son of Jerubbaal went to Shechem to his mother's brothers, and he talked with them and with all the family of the house of his mother's father, saying, I pray you, speak in the ears of all the men of Shechem, and say this, which is better for you, either that all the sons of Jerubbaal, 70 persons, reign over you, or that one reign over you? Remember also that I am your bone and your flesh. A little racist of you would think in that. Hmm? And his mother's brother spoke of him in the ears of all the men of Shechem with all these words, and their hearts were bent toward Abimelech, for they said, he's our brother. And they gave him 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Baal-berith, with which Abimelech hired worthless and reckless persons who followed him. A little campaign money? And he went to his father's house at Ophrah. This is not Oprah. Okay. And killed his brothers, the sons of Jerubbaal, 70 persons, upon one stone. But Jotham, the youngest of Jerubbaal, was still left, for he hid himself. And all the leaders of Shechem gathered together, and all the house of Milo, and they came and made Abimelech king beside the plain of the pillar in Shechem. And when they had told Jotham, he went and stood on the top of Mount Gerizim. Mount Gerizim was the mount of blessing. Let's see. No, Mount Gerizim was the mount of cursing. That's right. There it is. And so all the curses are there. You can read that Deuteronomy 27. So he comes to the mountain, and he lifted up his voice and cried out loud and said to them, listen to me, leaders of Shechem, so that God may listen to you. I think this is really, really good. When you apply the analogy to elections, the trees went forth to anoint a king over them, and they said to the olive tree, reign over us. But the olive tree said to them, should I leave my fatness with which they honor God and man by me and go be promoted over the trees? And the tree said to the fig tree, you come and reign over us. But the fig tree said to them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go be promoted over the trees? Then the tree said to the vine, you come and reign over us. And the vine said to them, should I leave my wine which cheers God and man and go be promoted over the trees? Then all the trees said to the bramble bush or the thistles, you come and reign over us. And the bramble bush said to the trees, if truly you anoint me king over you, come and put your trust in my shadow. And if not, let fire come out of the bramble and burn up the cedars of Lebanon. Don't I use that to show how foolish they were to do what they did? But I think this shows what happens with election. Why is it that we get the basest of men up there? Well, God says he deals in the kingdoms of men and sets up over it whomever he will. And I think at this point in America, with the financial crisis as humongous as it is, that John McCain's probably pretty happy he wasn't elected. And he's pretty happy that Obama has got to handle this himself, but he is the most ill-equipped man who's ever been president to handle it. I don't even think he's had Econ 101 at college. And I couldn't get over the size of his financial advisors. It was amazing. All right, now we're going to look at a couple of things here. Let's come to Jeremiah, the second chapter, Jeremiah 2. Now, again, as I read this, I want you to think in terms of modern Israel being America, Great Britain, Jeremiah 2, page 553, and think of it in God's blessing and bringing us into this land and giving us all of the things that he's given, giving us all the power that he's given to us, etc. Let's pick it up right here in verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Go cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus says the Lord, I remember you, the kindness of your youth, the love of your betrothals, when you went after me in the wilderness in a land not sown. Just think of conquering the wilderness, and what was the one book they took with them? The Bible. Israel was holiness to God, the first fruits of his increase, the one upon whom he was going to bestow all the blessings that he had promised Abraham. All that devour him shall be held guilty, and evil shall come upon them, says the Lord. And didn't that happen with every war? With the exception of the Korean War, Vietnam War? Who knows what it's going to be with Iraq, especially with Barack. Verse 4, Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. So now, let's include not only Britain and America and Australia and Canada and New Zealand, whatever is left of the Commonwealth of Britain, let's also include all the countries in northwestern Europe. And haven't they done the same thing? Haven't they kicked God out? Haven't they allowed strangers to come in and take over them? Yes. So let's think a little bigger in this. Hear the word of the Lord, O Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, What injustice have your fathers found in me, that they have gone far from me, and have walked after vanity and became vain? How did we become the way that we became? Well, I gave you a summary of 5 major events, most of them in the last century. Nor did they say, Where is the Lord who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts, of pits, through a land of dry places and deep darkness, through a land that no man passes through, where no man lived? And I brought them into a plentiful country to eat its fruit and its goodness. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my inheritance an abomination. Now this ties in with the sermon that I did last week. Who's to blame? The priest did not say, Where is the Lord? And they who handle the law did not know me. And in this nation, we have 4 Bibles for every person. So that means we have no excuse. The rulers rebelled against me, yes, kicked them out of Congress, kicked them out of the courts, kicked them out of the schools. The prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Just turn on Joel Osteen and you'll see, and others like him. Therefore, I will contend with you, and I will contend against your children's children, I will contend. Isn't that true? Isn't that what is happening today? I says, I want you to learn a lesson. Think on this. You had me as your true God. You had me to bless you. You had me to give you this land. And you take all the nations that I've mentioned and you subtract them from the world. What is the rest of the world like? Savage, barbarian, desolate. So verse 11. Or verse 10, rather. Pass over the coast of Kittim and see. And send to Kedar and carefully consider and see if there has ever been such a thing as this. Has a nation changed their gods who are not yet gods? No, they have all their idols and bow down to them, don't they? But my people have changed their glory, which I gave to them, God says, for that which does not profit. We'll see what that is a little bit later. Be amazed, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be utterly desolated, says the Lord, for my people have committed 2 evils. Everything comes down to the first commandment. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. In other words, they take the word of God, the name of God, and then they create a religion. That's why we have the book Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days, which shows what they did. Shows what we have done. We went after the nations. Big time. And I tell you what, tattooing, which is pure occultism, and they're all satanic, demonic pictures that they tattoo on the ones who were tattooed. There are more people tattooed than there are true dedicated Christians in the churches of God. And we can add in there the churches of God have had their problems and failures as well. So verse 14, is Israel a servant, or is he a servant of the house? Why has he become a prey? He set himself out there to be the victim. The young lions roared against him, they gave their voice, and they made his land a waste, his cities are burned without inhabitant yet to come. Happened to Jerusalem and happened to Judah when the Babylonians came and took them captive and took them to Babylon. Also the sons of Noph and Tophanes have shaved the crown of your head. Have you not brought this upon yourself in that you have forsaken the Lord your God when he led you by the way? And how many times has the hand of God intervened to help? And I never will forget, and I think it was quite stunning, when Hannity on his radio show played the prayer of Franklin Delano Roosevelt for the boys invading Normandy. And it was very moving. And I thought also it was very interesting he used the name Almighty God, which is the name that almost every state constitution starts out with, by the grace of Almighty God. Now look where we are today. You can't even mention him, and you can't even put the Ten Commandments in a courthouse, because that is violating separation of church and state. Well, when Christ returns and the saints take over, we won't have any of that. Now, what profit is there in going the way of Egypt to drink the waters of Shior? And the way of Egypt is all the occult stuff, isn't it? Yes. And what have you to do in the way of Assyria to drink the waters of the river? And if Syria be Germany, why are we doing everything that the Nazis did during World War II and advancing beyond it and becoming worse? Your own evil shall correct you. See, because there are automatic laws. You break the laws of God, whether you know it or not, automatic. Just like the law of gravity. You're running along and you stumble, guess what you're going to do? Fall down. Isn't that true? Yes. Your own backsliding shall reprove you. Therefore, know and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and that my fear is not in you, says the Lord God of hosts. And that's what we are going to find. This nation is going to enter into times which will become, if the pundits are correct, that we may be facing a worldwide depression, which may last as long as 5 years. Verse 20, for of old time you broke your yoke and tore your bonds, and you said, I will not serve. Yea, upon every high hill and under every green tree you lay down like a harlot. And today, what do we have? Well over 50% of the men and 50% of the women are whores and whoremongers, right? Yes, indeed. To say nothing of the youth. Yea, I planted a noble vine, a holy true seed. How then have you turned into the degenerate shoots of an alien vine to me? How did that happen? Just put in your notes there. Isaiah 5, it talks about the same thing. And then you have the companion chapters in Matthew 21 and Luke 20. Now here's why there has to be true repentance, not just a modification of behavior. For though you wash yourself with potash and multiply soap for yourself, yet your iniquity is marked before me, declares the Lord God. Why? Because there's no repentance from the heart. That's why. And they don't view the fact that they are sinning.